When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, and Jesse coming at you live, talking about what the Avs forward core might kind of look like going forward, as not only is Nathan MacKinnon out long term, if you haven't watched yesterday's show, go listen to the boys talk about JT Compher being out for a month. I'm gonna start a little bit further down the lineup today, though, because obviously last Saturday the Avs claimed Nick Aubé-Kubel from the Philadelphia Flyers. And now with a couple practices under his belt, everything in order, it does certainly look like he will be in the lineup. So, AJ, I know you've already done a deep dive piece on him, so go check that out on the DNVR.com. But let's get into some expectations for Kubel with the Avs here. What are you feeling from him, or what do you think he's going to start with for this team?
Well, I really, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, but I really like the Jost Newhook Aubé-Kubel combination. That I think is going to be something that gets probably a longer look than him on the first power play unit, which is where he was today and was kind of like news of the day. A right shot guy in JT Compher spot on the top power play unit, like, okay, we'll see how long that lasts. But I at 5v5, man, I really do like that lineup, because I think it's three guys. Like Tyson Jost needs, I don't know if it's an attitude change, but he needs to shoot the puck. He needs a little bit more of an aggressive mentality when he has the puck. He makes a lot of good plays, like that pass that he made to Newhook, where it didn't look like Newhook was 100% ready for it last Saturday, was great. Like that, it was a good play. He frequently makes nice passes to teammates, but doesn't look to create his own shot at all. And I think Aubé-Kubel, with his board work and his physicality, could help.
Is there more opportunity for Tyson Jost to play a more shooter style role that way if Kubel is the guy grinding and doing some of that dirty work.
Well, and with Abe Kubel doing that, you know, fulfilling that role, and then Newhook as the play, just the natural playmaker that he is, and just the dynamic talent that he is on offense, I think it could certainly help Jost a lot. We figured out Jost just can't. he just won't take that chance, I guess. He just doesn't seem confident in his ability to shoot the puck. He doesn't aggressively look for it. He doesn't just throw pucks at the net. He's always trying to make the next play. He's always trying to make the little pass. I mean, and
it's interesting, and obviously various games played year to year here, so don't take too much from it. But every year of Tyson Jost's career, he's now scored less goals. His first full rookie year, he had 12. The next year, 11. Then 8. Then 7. Now he has 1 in 12 games so far this year.
Yeah.
And his shot metrics the first couple of years were relatively the same. But you're starting to see the number of shots he takes come down a little bit, too.
Yeah. So just his shot attempts in general per game. They're trending in the wrong direction.
Yep.
And like that alone, I don't think would be concerning, but we've seen him pass up
good scoring chances. Yeah. Like,
good scoring chances, trying to constantly make the extra pass or make a nice play.
Right. The ones that hurt are the quality scoring chance where he opts to try and make a pass through a defender and just takes a quality opportunity and turns it into nothing.
Yep.
So,
well, and what's going to be interesting for me, because we're talking about Abe Kubel, you know, and what he's got to do, and what's going to be interesting to me is because again they've got him slotted in on PP1. He made a comment yesterday saying that he felt a little kind of miscast in his role in Philly, and I know AJ, you were wanting to talk about that as someone who watches a good amount of Flyers games. So I'm going to be curious to see what type of finish this dude actually has to his game, and. You know, after every rep on the power play, he was talking to the coaches. They were kind of telling him, hey, here's where you want to be. Here's where that puck's coming to you. They like that right shot in the middle. But it's going to be interesting to see Jost now with Newhook and if Abe Kubel actually does have some finish to his game, just what that combination actually looks like. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we don't have a great idea of what kind of finisher he is.
Right.
Because his rookie year, his true rookie year, 2 years ago, he had a really high shooting percentage. And then last year, he had a really low shooting percentage. It was, so that's like, that's a, the truth is almost always somewhere in between a 14% and then a 5% year. Most guys settle in that 8-ish range, 8-9 range. But he is, if you look at, like, he fires pucks at the net. If you look at his actual shot attempts in games, he's right around 2 per game. Shot attempts, not shots on goal, just shot attempts. So he's at least like willing to throw pucks in the general direction of the net, but it's not going to be like, he's going to play the LOC role, the job that LOC is being asked to do on the top line. Go hit people, go jar pucks loose, go win board battles. That's going to be his job, and leave all the fun shit to the other two guys. You're going to go do the dirty work. And with Jost, what's interesting is that we've seen he has embraced the dirty work over the last couple of years as it's become obvious he's not a top six type of player. He's a guy that has embraced doing the dirty work, the take a hit to make a play type stuff. And he just hasn't really developed a lot of that killer instinct and a lot of that, the finishing, as Rudo talked about, his goals are going down. They're trending in the wrong direction. And it almost looks like he's more comfortable being a role player because not a lot is being asked of him, where he can just go and hit a guy and jar a puck loose and win a board battle and go do the things that coaches love, but don't end up on highlight reels. And that's where Abe Kubel is going to fit with this trio, with specifically in this trio where he's going to start out. You know, if he moves around a little bit, then his job might change. But Abe Kubel is that's where he's going to go and fit in with this with this trio. And so it has to change Tyson Jost a little bit. His mindset has to change a little bit.
If we're talking about Knack, is he a third line player here? Is this line a proper third line that you expect to get out of it? Or is this the, we're still going to play Helm and that crew as the real third line?
Well, no, I think that's kind of up to Abe Kubel, right? And I think that's kind of what you're trying to figure out. I think the Avs are kind of saying, hey, we are betting on the fact that we think this guy can be a middle six player for us. I mean, you know, third line guy. And I don't know, maybe this is going a little too far because, like we've said, he's obviously an upgrade over some of your call-ups. But to me, it's almost one of those things where it's like, yeah, you kind of have a – because what is it? It's 30 days, right? Where if you claim a player off waivers, you got to keep him in your lineup for 30 days. I think it's kind of one of those things like, hey.
You don't have to. I mean, you can send him down, but then he just goes back to the Flyers. Yeah,
whoever had him can take him back and then send him down for free. Yeah.
So it's like, cool, you've got 30 days to prove that – you're a third line player.
Well, and what's different about Abe Kubel is that he really he actually does have 30 days. You have confidence in it because Nathan MacKinnon and JT Compher both just got hurt for a month.
They're not coming back.
So you're like, okay, well, this is a dude that he's got 30 days. You know, you have 1 month to prove that you belong somewhere in this lineup, because it's not hard to see when JT Compher comes back. That you have suddenly a right wing. When you get healthy, you have a right wing depth chart that has Mikko Rantanen, Andrei Burakovsky, Logan O'Connor, and Nicholas Abe Kubel, and then maybe JT Compher, depending on where they want to use him, whatever. But this is Abe Kubel's audition. He's got a month to audition for a permanent job in Colorado.
And we'll get into this a little bit more in the second period. I don't want to jump into it quite yet, but part of Kubel's audition here is not can he be better than JT Compher, but can he be better than Jason Megna?
Yeah.
Or well, Kiefer Sherwood.
In this case, it's Kiefer Sherwood. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way. I mean, again, we'll talk about that more in a little bit, but for the current makeup, Kubel is a guy who this year has under 10 minutes of ice time per game in the little he's played with the Flyers, but in his first 2 years, he was playing closer to 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Is that 11 or 12 number more realistic for him in Colorado?
I think right in the 11 to 12 range is perfect for that line at even strength, because Newhook will get power play time. Jost will get PK time.
Kubel might get power play time too, on today.
And Abe Kubel is obviously going to get power play time tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
We'll see. But I think obviously he's getting it tomorrow. So that's like cool for them. That's and great for him. It's an opportunity.
Yeah,
but the number one thing that Abe Kubel has got, if he's going to make a change from what happened in Philly, the one thing that he has to do is he can't take so many goddamn penalties. Yeah. When you go and you look at the numbers, he was fourth on the Flyers last year in minors taken.
It was like 49 minutes and or something in 50 games.
It's like, bro, if you are fourth on your team in penalties taken, and you're playing 11 minutes a night, you're taking too many penalties. And I specifically looked up minors because majors almost are always fighting majors. Very rarely are they like major majors.
Yeah.
So it's just he has to cut down on the amount of penalties that he takes. He draws a decent amount, but him drawing penalties is outweighed because he takes more of them.
Yeah.
Quite a bit more for a role player too. Like when you're drawing as many penalties as like Claude Giroux is, like it's great. you're doing a good job there. But when you take that many, and you're not, the other thing is that in Philly anyway, he wasn't a specialist in any way. He's not a faceoff guy. He's not a PK guy. He's not a power play guy. He just skates around for 11 minutes and hits stuff. You know, 11 minutes a night. He's just a little wrecking ball. That's it. That's kind of what he did in Philly, is that he just sort of bowling balled his way around the ice and ran into stuff for 11 minutes, and occasionally would chip in a point here and there. The penalties is a very real problem, though. He cannot do that.
I mean,
the
player you just described sounds suspiciously like what Logan O'Connor is for the Avs already.
Yeah, and we don't really know what Avi Kubel's, again, he's had two very, very different pro years. So we don't really know, like, you don't have a comfortable feeling about what his actual upside is going to be.
Well, and the other thing too, you know, with that Logan O'Connor comparison, the reason that he's kind of, not kind of, the reason he's sticking in the lineup and working his way up the depth chart is because he brings that effort every night. Also doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the penalty issues that Abe Kubel does. And now this year, you know, he has started to finish a little bit more. So that's something that's going to be really important, I think, for Abe Kubel, especially playing in the couple of roles that have at least got him slotted in right now. Cool. How efficient are you in doing what we need you to do, while also, you know, by your own words, you are suited to provide more offense than what you had the opportunity to do in Philadelphia. You now have to go do everything you did well in Philadelphia, cut down the penalties, and start contributing offensively. And if he can do that, great. He's going to find himself a permanent home. But I think the point that AJ was making just a minute ago is, man, you've got 30 days on a team that is pretty comfortable with their right side when fully healthy. So you are going to have to earn this, you know, that roster spot. And if it's copy paste of what he was doing this season in Philly, cool. See you never in December. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't last. This is as the title of the show today would indicate. This is, what does he have to do to hang? How can he be? Because at 25 years old, and a guy that does throw the body, he's precisely the kind of role player that fills the archetype of what they need. But in theory, you've already got the NHL trying to penalize Nazem Kadri for breathing. Okay. Like you can't have another guy that's just out there
constantly
rolling in penalties. Yeah. It's that I will say the one nice thing is that at least with him taking a penalty, you're not worrying about taking an ace penalty killer off the board.
Yeah. One, and honestly, that is another one of those things that he, in my mind at least, kind of does have to overcome a little bit. Usually players that kind of fit his, you know, his mold are penalty killers. If you're not going to be killing penalties, and on top of that, if you're going to be taking a lot of penalties, like, you've got to make that up in other areas. You know, I mean, someone like Matt Calvert literally made a career out of it, doing to your point, Rudo, exactly what AJ defined earlier, and being good on the penalty killing stuff. You can find a way to stick. You don't have that penalty killing aspect to your game. You got to find a way to make up that value somewhere else.
It's really, really hard to be a bottom six player and not penalty kill in the NHL. Yeah. It's really hard.
Well, and not penalty kill and not play on the power play.
Yeah, right. One of the two.
Like, it's really, really, really difficult to be a bottom six guy that does not play on a special teams unit. You just kind of hang out. You're like, all right, penalty gets called. I know that I'm going to spend the next 2 minutes just sort of sitting here. Yep. You know, like, it really limits your value as a player to a team because, well, you're not going to use them on that unit. You're not going to use them on that unit. All you use them at is even strength. And like, okay, you know, like, you're already getting, right now anyway, you're getting double duty out of guys like Jostin Nichushkin with power play and special teams. So if they moonlight him on the power play and it gives that guy one of these other guys just a little bit of extra rest, mainly Jost, because you're not going to take Nichushkinov. He's just been too good this year. Then, you know, maybe there's your upside, is that you end up with a little more well-rounded, little more well-rounded player, a little more well-rounded team. But we'll, you know, we'll see how he does.
I mean, think about this.
It is genuinely, it's a little weird to me that a guy that really likes to hit people, guy that doesn't shy away from the dirty parts of the game, and a guy that puts up good defensive metrics early in his career anyway. And not, they're not like atrocious now. It hasn't been used on a penalty kill.
And if you look at this team's entire bottom six when healthy, I can't think of anyone that doesn't get special teams work.
Yeah, I mean, you have Darren Helm and Logan O'Connor and Tyson Jost and Val Nichushkin should be your four PK killers. Guys.
Yep. And I mean, Compher even, you know, moonlights on the PK, and
he plays pretty more steadily. He plays more PK than he fucking should, just given his career. But it is what it is. Like, that's five guys that you're already like, they're going to play the PK.
There's one spot maybe in the bottom six.
That you occasionally use, because he's not a faceoff guy. He's taken, Abe Kubel has taken like four faceoffs in his whole career.
Yep.
And then of those five players you just listed, Compher, Jost, and Nichushkin all get regular power play time as well. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He's going to have to come in. The more we talk through it, like, I hope he doesn't listen to this, because he's just going to be sitting here listening to it like, whoa, I got to do all of that. Because, like, it is. Like, it's going to take a lot for this team to stick.
It's really hard. And the what's intriguing, though, is that he's 25. He's got a couple of years of RFA eligibility left. So you're not, you know, like, this, he's a guy that you could easily give a cheap deal to in a year in the offseason, if this does work out for you. Can he play the left side? Can he, you know, because one thing right now, it's really easy to just drop him into the lineup. As things get healthier, I think it would be interesting to see if they try, especially if he's playing well, try and move him around a little bit and give him different looks and see if he can give you
some versatility somewhere.
Can he help you on the left side? Can he, you know, because if you, if he works out really well and you, you know, you're looking ahead, if he sticks, you don't bring back Darren Helm next year because you have him on the left side and Logan O'Connor on the right side. You got two little bowling balls that just smash into stuff together, you know, and then you just need to pull the trigger and put Tyson Jost in the middle of them. But it's like, you know, like, there's potential there. So it's easy to see the upside. It's also easy to understand why Philly was comfortable moving on. The downside was just the cons outweighed the pros, and they got healthy and they were comfortable with guys like Zach McEwen instead.
The question that I have is, can they pay him in Breck Brew, which you can get down at the DNVR bar, eight different kinds on tap?
Probably not.
Yeah, I imagine not, but you can get it if you're watching the show. Go to your local liquor store. I'm sure they have at least a few of their flavors. If you're looking for a specific one, use the Breck Beer Locator online. Also, keep your eyes peeled for their Good Company hard seltzers. They're delicious. I don't understand how they made alcohol taste like candy, but they did. So if you like candy alcohol, go try their seltzers. And then make sure you're taking care of your teeth with Green Mountain Dental Group, just 15 minutes from downtown. Super easy to get to. And when you sign up for a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you can get yourself a free Sonicare toothbrush, so you're cleaning your teeth well at home too. AJ's making weird faces over here.
The Leafs traded for Kyle Clifford.
That sounds like an old boy Leafs club thing to do.
So Clifford cleared waivers, and then the Leafs traded future considerations for him.
Interesting. I mean, I guess they have the versatility to move him up and down.
Yeah, they've got 30 days now to do whatever.
But also weird
in
general.
It's like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Toronto does weird shit all the time.
They sure do. Less weird shit as the conversation you guys are starting to get into here in the second period. Yes, you have Kubel coming into this lineup. And it's for the next month, which is all we really need to focus on right now. He's going to have a spot in the lineup. There's going to be guys like Sherwood. There's going to be guys like Megna also in this lineup that are part of the reason why the Avs need so much out of Kubel, right? They're already running two dudes in the lineup that essentially, at least offensively so far, have done pretty much nothing. I think Megna has one secondary assist that he barely even touched the puck on, and that's it for that production there. But the other side of that conversation is other options there. You have Martin Kaut, who practiced by himself today. You have, down the line a little bit, someone like a Sampo Ranta, or maybe more importantly, a Mikhail Maltsev in the AHL that you're kind of wondering, that guy ever going to get a call up again? He's killed the AHL so far. So,
look, if he just keeps killing it, at some point he's smashing through that ceiling. I'm just waiting for the Jason Megna game
where he has 3 points or whatever.
Well, no, the one where it's the exact opposite.
Oh, where he pulls a Maltsev. Got it. Yeah,
where he shits the bed, dude. Where finally it catches up to him and he has the bad game, and then they look at Mikhail Maltsev crushing it, and they're like, is it time?
Yeah.
Not rooting against Jason Megna, but like, just history has taught us, like,
and
it's stacked against him.
And that's what we talked about yesterday. Like honestly, until you get that kind of game out of Megna, and I really do, especially if Maltsev continues to do what he's doing right now in the AHL, he hasn't been down there long enough that, you know, you're thinking like, oh, we have to get this guy up here. Like, let him keep doing his thing. His issue right now is that Jason Megna and Kiefer Sherwood have been completely fine. Like we talked about it on yesterday's show. They've been totally passable. They're not hurting you on that fourth pairing. Rudo, to your point, yeah, they're not fourth line. They're not contributing much offensively, but they are getting by just fine. And that's something the player that you initially were talking about, that's something Martin Kaut's going to have to overcome as well. He's just had too many NHL games where he's just been passable. And he's going to have to start taking that next step to become a full-time NHLer and not just on that Jason Megna, Kiefer Sherwood level.
So 2 weeks from now, let's say everyone continues to play just fine, and you throw Kubel's name in there, and he's been just fine too. Who's the low man on the totem pole there? Is it Kubel?
Is Martin Kaut healthy?
Sure. Well, let's say he's healthy 2 weeks. Like he's ready to come back 2 weeks from now.
I would say he goes back to the Eagles.
Yep. Okay.
Assuming in this scenario, you said everybody else is playing just fine. You're not worrying about it. Yeah, but Kaut goes back.
Okay. So Kaut kind of the low man there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Today, would you say Kubel slots in as the 10th forward? Do you have Sherwood and Megna behind him or ahead of him?
I would have them behind him until they're not. And I know that's kind of a cheap kind of cop-out answer. But, you know, until he goes out there and proves that he is kind of just on that same level, I think you give the guy the benefit of the doubt and say, Abs pro scouting, who's done a pretty good job the last few years, see something in this guy and thinks that he fits into their system a little bit better. And so I would kind of put him in that 10th forward spot. I think if you know, just hypothetically, you get McKinnon back tomorrow, I think you'd bump one of Sherwood or Megna out before you'd bump Abe Kubel.
I would say Sherwood and Abe Kubel are both the 12th guy.
Oh, so you put Megna ahead of those
two? Yeah, because right now he's centering the fourth line. Yeah. And that's why I've been like, look, I don't think any of the Abe Kubel stuff affects Jason Megna really at all.
Sure.
That's a great point. The center thing is a great point.
Yeah, because if in this world where all of them get healthy and Abe Kubel has killed it, Jason Megna is getting sent down and Abe Kubel stays, but it's because Tyson Jost gets dropped to 4C and JT Compher is 3C or, you know, whatever.
So you have this more separated into, you have kind of a pod of Kaut, Kubel, and Sherwood.
Yes.
And then a pod of Jost, Megna, and maybe a little bit down that list, Maltsev too.
Who, yes,
the Avs do want to play at center. So,
yeah, well, and them giving Newhook that look, Newhook slots into there and
somewhere too. Yeah,
look, I'm just gonna say, this feels like a controversial opinion today because everybody's loving on the guy, but I would say that I'm very, very doubtful that this first line is currently constructed stays for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're essentially running Landeskog as the center right now.
It's Rantanen that's the center.
Is it Rantanen?
Yeah, it's Rantanen as the center right now.
You can call whoever you want the center, but Landy does all the center work in the defensive zone.
Well, and that was why on Saturday when they were doing it and I was in the arena, I was like, I'm pretty sure Rantanen's in the middle of this line. And then there was one shift where Rantanen took all the D. He was F3, and then there was another shift where it was Landy, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on at this point. I don't know what they're doing. All I know is that Logan O'Connor is definitely on the right wing.
If no one's the center, everybody is, all right? Big brain.
Yeah. And they were also, like, they were not consistently together, and their shifts were kind of broken up, and it was kind of a jumbled mess.
Sure.
But I think that there's the possibility, hey, if you get 3 weeks into this and Alex Newhook is playing lights out or is playing the way we expect him to, competitive, dynamic, he's producing offensively, he's dangerous. I think there's a decent chance that he gets a look at that top line before all is said and done with MacKinnon returning. Kadri moves up and then Newhook also does
on the second line or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Where I just think that we're talking almost like separate depth charts. When it comes to a guy like Abe Kubel, where whatever they're doing at center, just doesn't have a huge impact on him. If he goes out there and plays to the good version of himself, he can win a job and he can stick. Because you do, like, you go into a playoff series, you have Rantanen, who we would power forwardy.
Yeah, for
power
sure.
Forward-esque. Like, there are games, right, where he just physically dominates.
He's got the ability to.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm saying, like, there's a power element there. Burakovsky, there isn't, but it's high skill. And then Logan O'Connor and Abe Kubel, each guys are they're little bowling balls, little wrecking balls that just smash into stuff. So at least one part of Avalanche forward core is going to have a consistent physical element if this group sticks. When do the Avs say enough with Jost? I don't know what the problem is with Tyson Jost.
Yeah,
I don't see where the issue is.
Jost continues to be a perfectly fine NHL player, regardless of his shortcomings.
Yeah. He needs to produce more. We're all happy. We're all in agreement here. He needs to produce more points. But ultimately, he's proven himself as a versatile and quality three-zone player.
Every team in the league has one, if not multiple players in their bottom six that they say, boy, I sure wish that dude scored more.
Yeah. I wish if that guy could just finish some chances here and there.
Yep.
If that guy just did a little bit more. I mean, you know who Seattle's saying that about right now? Jonas Donskoy.
that's we've talked about. AJ, you and I have talked about that for years. That's the razor thin difference sometimes between literally a full-time NHLer and an AHL player, or a fringe NHL player and a top six forward, is this guy can finish a little bit better. This guy can put the puck in five more times a year, whatever. And it's, you know, people say, you know, you see people all the time on Twitter and shit, like, oh, Jost needs to, like, scoring the NHL is really hard. The fact that Tyson Jost has found somewhere to be very effective on this Avalanche team, and you want him to produce more, but he's found a way to be effective, and that's huge. That's tough to do in the NHL.
In your world of problems, he's just not
not one on the list.
You know, You're sitting here saying, I wish this was better, but you're not going, oh my God, what are we going to do about this? Because if you look at his defensive impacts the last couple of years, as he's really embraced being a role player, dude is They're very good. They continue to be really, really, really good defensive impacts, especially on the PK, where he's just been one of Colorado's better players.
Well, and the other thing that to me has really impressed me with Tyson Jost over the last few years was his ability to recognize that he wasn't the type of player that maybe he thought he was at the NHL level or wanted to be at the NHL level. And he said, hey, this isn't effective. I'm not finding success. And he pivoted his style of play. Again, very difficult to do. I've always been impressed by that. Really, I just want to get back to what AJ, you were talking about with, you know, kind of how a lot of this roster makeup doesn't really affect Abbé Kubel. And, you look at that top line. One of the things that was really interesting to me about Logan O'Connor, because I agree with you, I think it's going to be LOC is going to have to play pretty special to have this stick for the full, you know, time that MacKinnon is out. Right. He was at practice today. They were running 5-on-5 drills. And what he did really effectively was he helped their puck pursuit in the defensive zone. He was helping getting pucks out and transition Miko and Landy up ice onto offense. If he can do that effectively, keep that kind of pressure on pucks, especially if your other lines keep rolling, right? AJ, we talked about this yesterday. The Avs are desperate to find some level of consistency in their lineup. And I just think that if you have those other lines going and if LOC is doing fine, cool, you keep it together. But that all does just cascade down to is Newhook gelling with Jost and Abbé Kubel? Are they getting things going? Are they contributing in one way or the other on the ice, whether it be defensively in the offensive zone, whatever? Is Newhook outplaying LOC to the point where you can swap those two? And now kind of you've got that, what you would kind of say, or what you said a minute ago, would kind of be your perfect fourth line in the future of Jost, Abbé Kubel, and LOC. Like, I just think there's going to be some really interesting looks over the next few weeks. I think they're going to try to find some line consistency. And if they can get even a single stroke of health luck here, maybe find a few combinations that you can roll, you know, again, with some regularity.
I think part of that is the one line you don't want to touch at all right now is the second line, right? Yeah. Kadri has been rolling since Berkey came back from his injury. He's been much, much better. And now you've just gotten Nuke back and he's dropped in like it's no problem at all.
Yeah.
So you have this weird like jump where you're asking a guy to go from the third line to the first, whether it's Logan O'Connor or Newhook or whoever. And no matter Comfort who does even. That. Yeah. Even Comfort falls into the same category where you're saying, that's a huge jump for a guy and expectations are tough on and anyone trying to do that. So.
Well, and we talked about that with Com for what the one game that he got to play there before he got hurt, where, you know, we've seen him do this many times in his career. He jumps up to that top line and it's whatever, but he usually struggles. If you go beyond the eye test and start looking at some of his, you know, more advanced numbers, he moves to that top line and he definitely struggles. And so it's going to be interesting with assuming you want to keep that second line together, anybody that they're plugging in on that top line, you know, someone in chat just said, you know, putting, Kubel there, it's going to be a struggle for anybody. They've tried Jost there in the past. Newhook's really the only one who hasn't ever gotten that look there. And LOC, who's about to get his look, his first look tomorrow. And unless it goes catastrophic, I imagine they at least give him tomorrow and Friday as a look. I think it's totally realistic that you could see Newhook there. You could see them try Jost there. And if things really aren't looking, I guess they could break up that second line. But that's a great point, Rudo. Going from the bottom six to not only a top six role, but a top line role with a couple players that other teams will absolutely play shutdown lines against. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, what I saw from O'Connor today is what I think he's going to have to do. Hey, when this line gets into the defensive zone, you need to be on pucks. You need to win board battles and you need to get that line moving up ice. Yeah. And he can focus on doing that.
Going from playing a fourth line where success is defined by an offensive zone faceoff, not giving up a goal, getting the puck out, getting it deep, killing a shift. versus success is defined as you score points.
Yeah.
You put goals in.
Yep.
You
drive offense.
Change it changes where you put your energy and how you play the game and what your focus is and your drive. And you know, you've got 50 seconds on the ice to do something. When you're playing next to those two guys, you can't just be got an offensive zone faceoff, because now you're taking two of your best scorers off the ice for the next faceoff.
And you have to be able to do something. I think that's the key, because every line in the league that has to play against that line is going to look at it and go, great. We double team Rantanen. We put a guy on Landy, manage the defenseman. Logan O'Connor, if you're going to take a shot from the top of the circles, I dare you. That's the shot we want this line to take, Logan O'Connor being.
Well, and the opposing teams, all they're saying is just like, Logan O'Connor, we'll give him the puck.
Yeah, right. They'll give that up.
And that's where, again, I it falls on O'Connor. AJ, you said it perfectly yesterday. You're on this top line. Do not change a thing that you've done all season. You've gotten this opportunity because you're going to the net. You're starting to contribute. You know, we talked about yesterday. He's already had a career high in points for this season, 12 games in. I'm not saying that production line, you know, half point a game keeps up. But cool, if teams are going to let you shoot. He scored a beautiful goal just a few games ago, you know, with a clean look in the home plate area. If teams are going to let him do that, don't do what you see young guys do all the time when they play, up in the lineup. Don't defer. Do what has made you successful. Go to the net. Be hard on pucks. Battle below the goal line. And he's going to be fine. If he starts trying to change what he's doing because suddenly he feels a different response, then it's going to go poorly. And teams will let him give that shot because, like what we saw with Sam Girard for a bunch of games this year, they're not afraid that he's going to shoot. Logan O'Connor needs to put the puck on net and just continue to be what he's been all season. And if he's doing that and you got guys doubling up Mikko and they're letting Logan O'Connor walk down the slot, cool.
Yeah,
works for me.
At the end of the day, we'll find out how well it works or not. So if it works, great. If it's not, next man up kind of situation, essentially. In any case, we are brought to you all by Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee that has helped with migraines, aches and pains, IBS, a ton of other things as well. So give them a try today and get 25% off when you use code DNVR25 on your first purchase. If you're not sure about it, you can also try it down at the DNVR bar. Come get a cold brew there, and if you like it, then you can order as much as you want. If you get their subscription service, you get 20% off for as long as you are subscribed. Then once you've had your coffee, you can bust out your steaks with Hassle Cattle Company. You can try their Wagyu burger along with the coffee down at the bar. That's absolutely delicious. Every time I go to the bar now, someone tells me how good it is. So jump on it. You can actually get 15% off right now at Hassle with their holiday deal. It's just code DNBR15. So jump on that extra 5% off with the code. And if you order over $200, maybe you're having the whole family in and you want steaks instead of turkey or something, you get free shipping to boot. So check out HassleCattleCompany.com today. And last but just certainly not least, you can check out Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia been in the home purchasing business for a very long time here in Colorado. More than just home purchasing. If you already own a home, you can look at refinancing and making things work for you with prices way up in Colorado right now. Believe me, I've been looking and nothing is cheap at the moment. So if you need help navigating those waters, Mike is a certified financial planner. He can get you the exact right home loan for your entire situation and not put you in a tough spot when it comes to buying a house and not having any money. Nobody wants that. So they'll take care of you. Go to dnvrmortgage.com to get a free consultation and a chance to win yourself some free DNVR merch as well. Again, really love these guys. Can't recommend enough. They are super duper awesome. Check them out today at dnvrmortgage.com or call Virginia at this phone number that I'm definitely not looking up right now because I don't have it memorized. 303-257-6578. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006, Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. P.S. Keep an eye out on the DNVR website tonight. We got some pretty cool stuff coming for you if you're a prospect nerd. Be sure to check out some of the stuff that gets posted later today. So give us a follow on DNVR Avalanche on Twitter if you want to keep your eyes on that.
Yeah. Yes, do that.
Do it.
I'm excited to see what we got.
Yeah. Should be fun. Should have some interesting stuff. Anyway, getting back into the Avs lineup. AJ, you were talking about it before the show. Tomorrow will be the Avs icing their 19th forward already this season with Knack. So the injuries have clearly provided a pretty aggressive rotation of forwards so far. But yeah, you're kind of in this weird limbo right now, right? Where we've talked about, oh, look at what the Avs lineup could be when it's healthy. But there's also the very real possibility that it's just never fully healthy. And that's where having these depth options like Kubel, like Kaut, like Amaltsev become more interesting conversations. Because, yes. Go ahead if you want.
Yeah. I mean,
because you get to game 15 of Megna, right?
Yeah, you're 13 games in, and you're about to use your 19 or your 12. You're going into your 13th game, and you're using your 19th forward.
Yeah,
honestly, you've got to be happy that you're where you are.
Yep.
You know that, and it's not. You know, every member of your top line has missed. Every member of your really, I think it's.
Kadri's like the only one.
All of your top six except Kadri has missed games.
Oh yeah.
So you're really your bottom six has been a total freak show.
Yep.
From the beginning. I think that it's just I actually like the lineup probably right now. In the bottom six more than what I would have expected had you told me that they would be using 19 forwards in 13 games. I really like Abe Kubel. I think that he's a guy that fits. He seriously, seriously fits what they need and kind of who they are. And if he can just chill out on the penalties, if he can just not go crazy with that, and he can be just a decent offensive contributor. Him going out there and really going nuts on a forecheck and just making the Avs a little harder to play against, it's what they need so badly. Because the Jason Megnas and the Kiefer Sherwoods, they're not hurting them. Well, they're not helping them. Mm-hmm. Between those guys, they have one point, and it was Jason Megna having a puck deflect off of him.
Right to Sam Girard.
Right to Sam Girard. Made
an unbelievable play.
Right. who went and made a play. And he and Jason Megan picked up a free point. You know, and it's if MacKinnon and Compher come back, the floor of this forward core I think has gotten better.
By a good margin.
The X factor remains Alex Newhook. Does Alex Newhook pop off? Does he go crazy?
If he keeps playing like he did the last two games, watch out.
If that's more of what we see than not, because you know it won't be every night. There'll be quiet games or whatever. But
build
I just
on it though.
Right. I mean, as long as I did, look, and that were any three of us doubters of Alex Newhook coming into this year as like gonna be a productive NHL player. Were any of us talking about him as a Calder guy? Because I don't think any of us were.
I YOLO'd it in my predictions.
Was that your nonsense. Bold prediction of the year? I don't worry about those.
I also predicted
Rantanen to win the heart, so who cares?
Like he's someone that I really thought that if he would have come out the way he was playing the playoffs last year, he was someone that I was like, well, he could put himself in that conversation, but no. I didn't actually think he's going to solidify himself as a Calder candidate.
He was super interesting as a Calder candidate after Byfield got hurt. And if you just forget about Moritz Seider, and if
Lucas Raymond
doesn't decide to play, you really have to stretch to see Newhook really getting into that.
Right. Like Bowen Byram had put himself in the conversation temporarily, but it wasn't like
he had to keep playing like that.
Yeah. You're like, like Lucas Raymond is going to continue, you know, like he's playing a huge role for the Red Wings and these other guys are not for the Avs. And I think that's where I like the forward core, man. I like the forward core. I think that they, I want to see how they survive with no Nathan MacKinnon. I really want to see Mikko Rantanen take some games over because we haven't really seen an extended stretch. We've seen MacKinnon without Rantanen and MacKinnon just keeps rolling.
Yep.
But I want to see Mikko without Mac.
Well, and you saw Mikko the other night where the Avs handled their business, but Mikko really didn't do a ton offensively.
He wasn't. Did they end up changing that goal to him? I actually have not gone back.
I haven't checked yet either.
For Mikko?
Yeah.
They did.
They took away the.
Yeah, there's no Mikko goals.
No, they did not change it.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
Not the one that they took from Compher.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Against the Sharks.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no, they did not. The Burakovsky goal, the fifth goal, it looked like it went off his pants, and they didn't change that. Anyway, he didn't do much. And I'd like to see more of that because Nazem Kadri is not going to continue to put up three-point nights for you. But I tell you, as long as it doesn't really matter who it is, as long as every night
somebody is doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. That's how they're going to get through this. That's how they're going to get by. And I really think leaning on that defense is the key. Shut it down defensively. And, you know, I joked last week, lean into your defense and win 2-1. Well, and then they went out and they scored 7 and then 6 goals. And they were also due for a little bit of finishing luck because they've been lacking it the entire season.
It's funny the same way you talk about the top line is like, oh, well, you know, if MacKinnon's not going tonight, you have Rantanen or Landeskog or whatever. And that's how the defense feels now. Yeah, they don't have Byram maybe, but you have Makar. If Makar's not going, you have Taves. If Taves not going, you have Girard, who over the last couple of games, obviously Girard has come back to what people expected of him to be.
With 7 way. Points in 3 games?
Yeah, obviously outrageous over the last couple of games, but a nice little reminder that Girard is just fine. So
yeah, it was this is the guy that other teams would line up to trade for if the Avs were serious about, hey, let's put this guy on the market.
We talked about the super chat a little bit, but we can touch on it a little bit more. Did you get the impression from his interview yesterday that Knack was miscast as a grinder in Philly and maybe the Avs scouting staff saw that?
I think that's what the Avs scouting staff is banking on.
I mean, I think he's going to be a grinder in Colorado, so no. But I just think that when a coaching staff is kind of out on a guy, they start looking. It's kind of like when you're dating somebody that you're just kind of like, and once the switch flips in your head where you're like, we're still dating, there are still reasons that I like this person, but you're kind of, you start nitpicking them now and the red flags start stacking up. You start looking for them. You start looking for reasons to be on the outs with that person. I think it's the same thing with the coaching staff and depth guys. Once they've decided that they're out on them, and it was pretty clear that Vigneault was out on them, when they started claiming guys like Zach McEwen on waivers, it was like, they're moving on. They're looking to get rid of this guy. And I just think that once you start, it snowballs downhill. You know, that once the relationship deteriorates, there's no jump-starting that. So I think that's where, you know, I don't want to say miscast. I don't think that miscast is probably correct because I don't think they're going to ask him to do tons differently in Colorado. Like him being on power play 1 for the time being isn't super meaningful. If he stays there, then you wonder, hey, Philly, like, what were you guys doing?
What did you miss?
Yeah. Yeah, like, how did you miss this badly on this? But otherwise, I don't know that miscast is appropriate. He's not going to be a top six guy in Colorado. He's not going to be a big time point guy. He shouldn't be, I should say. We don't really need, he's had such a career of extremes that it's, you don't really know what you're getting. Chances are against you getting a high impact guy. You're just hoping for the best, really. Like, you're hoping that you get a guy that can fill a small role for you. So I don't think miscast is a fair assessment. Just because they're going to ask him to do the same thing in Colorado.
All right.
Yeah, it's not like Sven Andrighetto when they picked him up a few years ago, and he went from being on Montreal's fourth line to, for that last like 20 games of the season, they dropped him on their first line. Yeah, it's not going to be the same thing as that. I don't expect there to be.
I mean, 16 points in 19 games for Sven. You know,
no, I know.
It was interesting, right? And then
that's what I'm saying. Like,
he ended up super miscast on the fourth line at the end of his Colorado tenure. Like, this Sven Andrighetto can't do this. Like, come on, this is not cool.
Right, and what I'm saying is I don't think you're going to end up with that same type of situation where literally just dropping him in somewhere different in your lineup is going to make a huge difference. I don't think they're going to drop him in anywhere different in the lineup than what he was really in Philly, especially when this team's back to fully healthy. So unless he kind of takes advantage of him being on this first power play unit for a game or two, and unless him and Newhook start popping off or something like that, it's up to him to prove if he was miscast. I think the Avs are going to drop him into a very similar role. And if he wants to prove I was miscast and playing with a team that plays with more speed, more north-south, is what fits better for me, then that's up to him to prove.
All right. I think we're wrapping things up here. I'm not planning on watching the live-action Cowboy Bebop. Every time a cartoon or anime, whatever you want to call it, gets changed into a live-action show, it's usually an unmitigated disaster.
The ads are getting shut out by Grubauer on Friday. So
true, but
it's the most predictable thing.
You already know that
in the world.
Yeah,
Philip Grubauer badly struggling, and then goes up against the Avs in their first matchup of the year. And
look,
he's gonna lock it down, dude.
It's one of two ways for Grubauer. Grubauer's either gonna play out of his mind, the curse of the ex-Av, or his season is going to go from like, wow, this is really disappointing, to absolutely horrific if they hang like this guy on him.
Yeah. How much for how long?
Yeah, I don't see it going any other way other than shutout, or they just fucking smoke him.
Thankfully, that game is on Friday, so it doesn't ruin our Saturday slate at least.
Yeah.
Got that going for us.
I think I mentioned it yesterday on the show. I will be in Seattle covering the game for us. So make sure you're on the dnvr.com. We actually just had our meeting right before this show. We got all kinds of cool stuff planned. And AJ's in Dallas next week. All kinds of cool stuff planned for that. So make sure you guys are following along. We're going to have a ton of fun on these road trips.
Yep. Lots of bomb stuff coming for today's show. We are done, though. Thank you for watching. Hope y'all enjoyed. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. That helps us out a ton. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow post game and going forward. You know the drill. We're doing six shows this week, right? Five shows? I don't know. Anyway,
we're
live all the time. Days blend together. I don't know anything anymore. We'll be here. We hope to see you on the next one. Until then, we'll talk to you later.